The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
To connect more with today's newsmakers in SoCal, log on to KKLA.com. That's KKLA.com. And type in the keyword connection. This is KKLA's SoCal Connection with Larry Marino.
Well, we are going to continue a series that we started several months ago with Paula Christian from Shepherd Church. She has a passion about fostering and encouraging those in the church to be more active in it, and help out and think about bringing a child into their home who needs fostering. And as our stories have evolved, we have learned different aspects of the challenges of funding this process. And she's joining us today to share with us the challenges of some dollars that are set aside to help foster kids, but may not be used in the best way. They may be going to government programs rather than helping the individual child. Paula, thank you so much for being with us again.
Larry, thank you so much for just helping shine a light on the need for certainly churches and people of faith to step up and be part of a system that helps just really help our most vulnerable children.
So set this up.
So a longstanding policy throughout the nation, whenever a child has a parent that passes away or they have another significant need, the federal government gives them Social Security income dollars. And the policy globally has been, if that child is in the foster system, that those dollars then would be garnered to help offset the cost of that child being cared for within the foster system. Recently, there's just been a talk about, is that the best thing that we can do for the kids, and how can we better utilize those dollars? And this conversation is happening across the nation, with legislation being put together already in New York, Nebraska, Texas, Minnesota, and Illinois, just to name a few, just to look at what we can do with those dollars, how we can hold those dollars in trust for the kids. Could that money be used better for them for college, for buying their first car once they turn of age and they age out of the system? Is there a better way to do that? And is there even a way for us to look at, since there is not a primary parent in the family, is there a way that we can look at maybe even funding their passions and their gifts and sending them to culinary school during their high school years, doing tech camps, doing space camps, arts and dance, things that foster kids don't necessarily always have access to. And then also Hilda Solis has started the conversation of safeguarding those dollars for the kids as well.
Yes. Let's bring in Brandon Nichols, Director of the Department of Children and Family Services, L.A. County.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Paula. Thank you so much for engaging me in this conversation and having me on today to talk about it. Paula, I share a passion with you both for foster children and foster care. That's part of why I took the job, but also for the engagement of the faith community in that. You know, I've been director now a little over a month, and I've already been out to visit four churches in the community to talk about how we can work better. You know, how can we support families to keep them from coming into child welfare to begin with? And I think the faith community plays a role there. It is a complex and arcane and legalistic conversation to have. It is like the tax code. You know, it's understood entirely by few experts. But there's folks like me who can set policy goals and set, you know, visions that then the experts can help us work toward. And I will say that LA County has already begun that work under the, you know, leadership and direction of our Board of Supervisors. We have begun to do better around making sure that the benefits that children might have access to are actually provided to them. You know, when the system was built at the federal level, I think they looked around for pots of money for, you know, how are we going to pay for this new program? And one of the pots of money that they controlled and they looked at was, you know, money under the Social Security Administration. And even today, some of that they control and we don't have any discretion over. But where we do have some discretion, That is the conversation that I think that you're looking to have and that I want to have. We looked at New York to see what they were doing. Again, I've been here a month, but we've already reached out and tried to examine the programs they're putting in place or the changes they're putting in place. And I think we can do some of that here in LA pretty quickly. Some of it's going to be a little harder. Some of it's going to involve conversations with the state or maybe state legislation. But I want to say that it's my interest and certainly the interest of the board to try to support kids as best we can. And if there's a way to get more money to put into their hands to help stabilize them, we want to explore that and figure out how to do it. The money that we receive is not spent on fire trucks or parks or anything else. The money DCFS has under our control is spent directly for the care of children. So we use that money to pay for social workers. We use it to pay for beds. We use it to pay for food. And already there is a housing shortage in LA County. And if anything, I want to be able to spend more money on housing. Also, as I came in July, I inherited a $200 million budget deficit. So I have to figure out how to plug a $200 million hole. At the same time, I'm trying to figure out how to give better supports and more resources to kids. And I do think there's ways to do that. I think it is a conversation that I'm interested in, and especially at the state level, because I think that's where some changes really could be made. And I love looking at other jurisdictions that have already kind of taken a step ahead of us to see what lessons we can learn.
So Paula gave the example of a young person who could really use lessons in some area, or cooking lessons, or a computer camp in summer, something that a normal family with a mother and father in home would be able to spend on. What you've laid out, if I've heard you correctly, is that the dollars that are coming in, there are other things that you need to fund. You've got this deficit. You've got you need this more social workers. That's a big jump to make, to go from funding all the social workers and the things in the broader sense to really helping the kids. But can you see how directly helping the kids with these programs could make a huge difference in inspiring their future?
Oh yeah, absolutely, Larry. And I do want to say, we do have programs today that do some of what you're talking about. We do have programs that teach kids how to cook, teach kids how to manage a budget. We have programs that help, you know, kids engage in art, and actually programs that send foster kids to summer camp. But, you know, it's not enough. There is a greater need than we're providing for today. And I do think that that we're right, that the money that is under the jurisdiction of the Social Security Agency may be able to provide a resource to expand that. I will tell you, though, even if we were able to spend it all, it probably still wouldn't meet the need.
What about a trust fund for kids? What about something when they age out of the program that doesn't just leave them on the streets? Is there anything there?
I think that that's the very basis of what New York has done. It's pretty straightforward and simple where it really is. And what I think Hilda is, Solis is proposing, a trust fund for the kids so that when they age out, they have a little bit of a safety net to land on. And I agree with Brendan, it's not enough. If the faith community does not step up and start helping these kids and putting them in loving, caring, nurturing homes, we're on a losing battle already. And that definitely is a big deal. But I do think that these funds, if we can set them aside so that when they're in college, they can get a car, or they don't maybe have to work three jobs, they only have to work two to afford college, and then work on some scholarship. I just think there are things that we can do. I think Brandon being at the helm is going to make just a big difference. You can hear his heart and passion, and I'm super excited that he's there and is passionate about really looking into this for these kids.
Well, everything Jill said is right. These kids need more help. I would love to be able to give them a better launch than they're getting now. I would love to have some comfort at the end of the day that I know they're going to be successful. And I'm going to work towards that. But it is going to take work. It's going to take conversations like this. And it's going to take, the community to join me in doing it. Yeah. And let me just say, Jill, I really do appreciate you putting this conversation together, getting the word out. This is great. And I'd be happy to work with you and come visit the faith institutions you work with. I'd appreciate that, actually.
Paula, take us into this story a little further. Go ahead.
There really are a lot of resources, as Brandon mentioned. I think the challenge is you have an overworked workforce within DCFS, not enough caseworkers, too heavy loads. And so all of the fringe things that they can do for these kids, helping them get into some of these programs, helping them with some of these resources, helping search out. There's job opportunities where these kids can get 100 hours of training for an organization for free, and this other nonprofit pays for it. There are so many things available to them, but they need to be guided through that. And the DCFS caseworkers are so overloaded that they really only have time to do the minimum in many cases. They just don't have time to research and resource the kids as much as they can. And so he's right, the system is overloaded. And then we have parents that just have multiple children, and they're really more of a housing unit than a parental family unit. And that's where the faith-based organization can step in. The faith-based organization can step in and say, we have loving, caring families. It is part of our mission. It is part of a command that we care for these children. And we would love to take them into our homes and make a difference. And if I can't take them into my home, I'm going to find a foster family or an adoptive family, and I'm going to love on them. I'm going to get my life scan. I'm going to be able to help babysit. I'm going to bring them food. I'm going to help resource them. Because if we don't, we as a community are treating them as these children as disposable. And it's not okay. And as a government, we end up paying for them, and we've had this conversation before, we pay for them because now they're homeless. 50% homeless came out of foster. 60-70% of our incarcerated came out of foster. So we're continue to pay a bill for a life not well lived because we haven't quite figured out how to do it here when they're children, when they're most vulnerable, and when they need us the most, and when, frankly, God has commanded us to take care of them, and we are not really doing that. I believe it grieves the heart of God when he looks and sees how we are treating the children that he has placed on this planet for us to care for.
Brandon, I want to give you a kind of final thought to wrap it up here.
Larry, I can't top that. What Paula said is spot on and moving and compelling. And I think that really is the point to end this conversation, other than to say, I'm committed and I'm going to be there to try to do my part in this.
Thank you. Brandon Nichols, taking the helm of the Department of Children and Family Services in July of this year. Thank you so much. And Paula Krasium, if people are hearing our broadcast today and want to know more about how they can get involved in fostering, whether in the church or as an individual, how they can step up and be a part of the solution to the challenge, can they call you?
They can call me here at the church office, which is 818-831-9333. I'm extension 103. They can email me at paula@shepherdchurch.com. I'm also part of the LA County Faith Collaborative, which Brandon is well aware of. Obviously, it's something that I think everyone cares about, but nobody knows what to do. And these are just some easy stepping stones and starting places to have those conversations.
Paula, Brandon, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you,
Larry. Thank you so much.
This is KKLA's SoCal Connection with Larry Marino.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.